Well, greetings once again, dear listeners. Thank you for listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the next 1 hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. This, I think, is maybe our 1 year anniversary, by the way. So if you've been with us for that period of time, well, happy anniversary. In our previous Datum Line broadcast, which was entitled Dictatorship of Debt, Part 5, we expanded somewhat on the subject of central economic planning as an inescapable corollary to intangible legal tender credit, and therefore a natural and probable consequence of America having abandoned its constitutionally and biblically, I might add, mandated lawful money, which was gold and silver. Listeners may recall the ancient Roman civil law maxim, which, translated from the Latin into English, says, every man, and therefore every nation of men, is presumed to intend the natural and probable consequences of his own voluntary acts. Central economic planning, and a whole lot more, is the natural and probable consequence of a Marxist socialist banking system imposed upon us by the Masonic secular humanist elite and acquiesced to by the general public. We all share in the guilt, you see. In our last broadcast, we also focused on FDR's New Deal federal programs of the 1930s and 40s as vivid examples of unlawful expansion of federal control over the economy and therefore over the American people themselves. Unfortunately, the general public was ready for FDR's Cultural Revolution, as Chairman Mao Zedong would later call his New Deal over there in China. And Americans are ripe for another revolution, which will make the New Deal of FDR pale to insignificance. Our Western Christian culture was and is under a revolutionary assault in the true Hegelian sense. For not only did FDR impose dictatorial socialist programs as allopathic cures for the suffering American economy, the disease itself was caused by a Marxist socialist central bank imposed less than 20 years earlier, that bank called the Federal Reserve System. Here was a private banking cartel licensed by Congress to steal from the public with Federal Reserve notes that were only 40% backed by gold, at a time when the United States was allegedly on the gold standard. That meant that 60% of their notes were fraudulent. But most Americans love credit, so why bother address and correct or punish the fraud? The Fed and member local banks set the stage for both the Depression and the New Deal programs by first injecting lots of low-cost credit into the economy. You might call it synthetic adrenaline, the effect of which was to create a boom economy. A few years later, tight lending policies were adopted. Borrowing came to a standstill, but repayment on current loans did not. Therefore, the supply of circulating credit began to dry up, and the Great Depression was on. Two principal tools are used by the Fed to slow down or even shut down the economy. One, raise the reserve requirements imposed upon local banks, and two, raise the rediscount rate, that being the interest rate that they charge to local banks, since the Fed is the lender of last resort. In short, the Great Depression and the New Deal were natural and probable consequences of a managed currency that was managed on behalf of the chosen few. They were, of course, also consequences of a disinterested public willing to tolerate and even to enjoy the sins of banking and bank credit, which violate every economic commandment of Scripture. You're listening to Datum Line. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. This is our first break. Please join me on the other side of this break.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Segment of Data Mine. On the other side of the break, I had just mentioned that banks and therefore banking violated every economic commandment of Scripture, which listeners by now know involved the crime, if you will, of unjust weights and measures, the crime or the sin of usury, which according to Scripture was interest of the loan of money, theft, and deceit in their perpetration of a massive confidence game, that subject which we covered in a previous broadcast. In Galatians chapter 6, 7, I'm kind of reminded of this verse from time to time, we were told by the Apostle Paul, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, and therefore whatsoever a nation soweth, that shall he, or they, also reap." Is that true or is that false? Well, Paul didn't invent that. I guarantee you that's a principle that runs through Scripture. We may do a message on just that alone. The title of today's message is entitled Dictatorship of Debt, Part 6. Having previously spoken of central economic planning and therefore central economic control exercised over a once free American people, let's look at a couple examples to see how unconstitutional Marxist policies implemented by FDR actually impacted the man on the street during that New Deal. In its alleged attempt at economic recovery, the National Recovery Administration went about setting, which means fixing, minimum prices on just about everything. Everything from artificial flowers to every kind of underwear. They even dictated the price to be charged for dry cleaning a suit. And that was federally mandated at 40 cents. That was payable in silver, you understand, back in those days, even though there was a great deal of circulating credit alongside the silver. In 1934, a New Jersey dry cleaner by the name of Jacob Maged, M-A-G-E-D, was fined and jailed for violating the price code set by the National Recovery Administration in defiance of the New Deal, you see. He was dry cleaning suits for 35 cents. This was a newly created crime for which he served 3 months in jail. New York State, not wishing to appear insensitive to the economic needs of its toiling masses, or perhaps not to be outdone by FDR, created its own milk control board in 1933 so as to legally mandate higher milk prices on behalf of milk producers. This when approximately 22% of the workforce was unemployed and in need of lower prices that perhaps a free market might well have supplied had it not been for the National Recovery Administration. In fact, the free market, which is the black market, by the way, did just that when a Rochester, New York grocer defied a new law created to prohibit lower prices. In a case called Nebbia versus New York, now that's N-E-B-B-I-A, Nebbia versus New York, that's found at 291, United States Reporter at page 502, which went to the United States Supreme Court, the conviction of Nebbia was upheld. What conviction? What was his crime? Well, Nebbia was convicted of selling 2 bottles of milk for less than 9 cents a quart, as required by the Milk Control Board, which represented the People's Republic of New York. Perhaps you can detect a little bias in my reporting of this event. Emergencies, which Rahm Emanuel not long ago said should never be allowed to go to waste, provide the greatest justification for government intervention, making possible, or made possible, I should say, by the infusion of bank credit. Thus, World War II provided FDR with his next excuse for centrally planning and regulating American life. Politicians of his stripe have become increasingly common, seeking positions of political power because they fancy themselves as godmen. Godmen who are qualified to rule over us lesser brutes, us goyim, as some would call us. This, you remember, was spelled out by General Albert Pike in his Bible on Freemasonry that was called Morals and Dogma. And all political contenders who hope to win office will tout their Masonic credentials and display innocuous hand signals, such as the goat's head, by raising the index finger and the little finger. And when you do that, what you have done is created the symbol for the goat of Mendes or Satan. We've talked about that before in previous messages. You can Google Masonic hand signals and see for yourself. You'll note some interesting personages doing just that. Anyway, back in 1942, the Emergency Price Control Act served to create the Office of Price Administration. And what was its job? Well, its job was to dictate maximum allowable prices for almost every conceivable product. Previously, during the Depression, FDR had supported higher prices by setting minimum prices on commodities under the National Recovery Act, which created the National Recovery Administration. Now, in 1942, his Office of Price Administration would artificially and temporarily seek to lower the prices and thus prevent the natural consequences that would result from his massive, rapid infusion of Federal Reserve credit into the economy, by which the federal government would confiscate whatever goods and services it deemed necessary for the war effort. Let's see to what degree prices were regulated under FDR's centrally planned economy. And for that, we're going to turn to that old 1948 textbook that I tote around with me, Economics, Principles, and Application, written by Professors Dodd and Hasek. We're turning to page 336, on which they have reproduced an OPA ceiling price chart, effective May 22, 1944. Their caption reads, prices on a portion of an OPA, that's the Office of Price Administration, poster, 1944. Quote, during World War II, and for a short time thereafter, OPA issued posters showing maximum prices for practically all merchandise. The above prices for butter and cereals applied to certain counties and cities in Virginia. Stores were classified from 1 to 4 according to volume of sales. Now, I'll only read a few examples just to give you an idea of how minutely the federal government regulated prices in these United States, land of the free, home of the brave. We'll take butter as an example. Butter, all brands, 93 score. Now, do you remember that? Are you old enough to remember score on butter? Well, there was a 93 score, 92 score, 90 score, 89 score butter. That's four different grades. We're familiar now, aren't we, with just grade A. But there were apparently a grade A, B, C, and D, if you want to use these numbers to be some sort of a representation. Anyway, all brands of 93 score butter, 1/4 pound Prince, 1 pound carton, that was 52 cents if it was sold in a number one store, 51 cents if it was sold in a number two store. Remember, these numbers of store represented their volume of activity. There was a number three and a number four as well. You could buy farm butter, which was another grade, and that was 44 cents. You could buy Cheerios, back in those days, 7-ounce package, 14 cents. Cream of wheat, 14-ounce package, 15 cents. Cream of wheat in a 28-ounce package, 26 cents. Crystal wedding oats, 16-ounce package, 13 cents. Crystal wedding oats, 48-ounce package, 24 cents. Kellogg's All Brand, oh, there's an all-American favorite. Kellogg's All Brand, 10-ounce package. Maximum price you could charge for that was 14 cents. Kellogg's All Brand in a 16-ounce package, 22 cents. Kellogg's also manufactured a product called Kellogg's Crumbles. How many of you out there remember that one? I don't. I'm 65. Anyway, 9-ounce package, 11 cents. Kellogg's Corn Flakes, the all-American favorite. 6-ounce package, 5 cents. Kellogg's Corn Flakes, 11-ounce package, 8 cents. Kellogg's Corn Flakes, 18-ounce package, 12 cents, and so on. That's pretty minute control over an economy, wouldn't you say? Everything under the sun was federally mandated in terms of its maximum price. That was to keep a lid on inflation, which the FDR administration's credit policies was going to cause, which is why when the war ended, prices, after the OPA suspended price controls, prices immediately jumped. By establishing other avenues of control, Roosevelt's administration would also dictate levels of priority concerning who would receive America's prodigious output of strategic materials. The Soviet Union was a top priority recipient under a phenomenal giveaway scheme called Lend-Lease. It wasn't a loan, and it wasn't a lease. They were let off the hook at 10 cents on a dollar or less. Not only did that program divert desperately needed equipment away from our own troops, putting our own troops at greater risk, particularly in the Pacific conflict. Oops, there's our music. We'll have to pick this theme up on the other side. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you're listening to Datum Line.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back to this segment of Data Mine. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host, if you're just joining us at this time. On the other side of the break, I had brought up the subject of Lend-Lease as another aspect of the FDR's New Deal central planning policies, because not only would the federal government regulate prices and then determine who was going to get what in this country through rationing, for example. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the ration coupons and ration stamps that were issued during the Second World War. I remember having some from my Aunt Ella, who, before she passed away, had managed to save some of these things. She hadn't spent them all yet. Anyway, these various avenues of control exhibited by the Roosevelt administration would not only dictate what happened inside this country, but also dictate the priorities with regards to the receipt of America's strategic materials during the war. And the Soviet Union, you may recall, was a top priority recipient under Lend-Lease. And not only did that program divert desperately needed equipment away from our own troops, particularly in the Pacific, where the Soviets were not our ally, but it also propelled the Soviet Union into the nuclear arms race by covert transfer of nuclear materials and technology developed at Oak Ridge, Tennessee's top secret Manhattan Project. This was revealed by Major Racy Jordan shortly after the war in his book, From Major Jordan's Diaries, providing fascinating details that he uncovered while officially assigned the responsibility of expediting weapons and technology transfers to the Soviet Union during Lend-Lease. I'd recommend you get the book from the library. You might be able to find it off the web as well. That's From Major Jordan's Diaries, a fascinating book. Through these transfers, FDR, wittingly or unwittingly, laid the foundation for the bank-funded, debt-escalating, artificially contrived Cold War, which boosted profit portfolios of key players. Key players such as the oft-spoken-about military-industrial complex and the seldom-mentioned Federal Reserve System with prominent member banks, banks like Chase. It was David Rockefeller's Chase Bank, after all, that became the first capitalist, I put quotation marks around that word capitalist, financial institution situated inside communist Russia. That occurred in May of 1973. And what was their address? Well, first off, they were in Moscow, which was the capital city, and their address, 1 Karl Marx Square. You can read about that in David Rockefeller's memoirs, which he published in 2002, and that'll be found at page 237. Now, what are the odds that communism's public enemy number one on capitalist Wall Street could land an address like that one? The three guiding principles in real estate, you remember, especially in commercial real estate, are location, location, and location. These cozy relationships between Wall Street, Washington, and communism go back a long way, as documented by Anthony Sutton in two books that he had written, one called National Suicide, which he wrote in 1973, and Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, which he wrote in 1974. Most Americans, thanks to mainstream media, which is also in the loop, are oblivious to the fact that Wall Street, so-called capitalists, bankrolled the Bolshevik Revolution, that communist revolution of 1917, that the Federal Reserve System, which was established and open for business in 1914, answers to the Communist Manifesto's fifth plank, that America adopted all 10 planks of that Communist Manifesto, written by Karl Marx, Moses Mordecai Marx Levy, in 1848, before most of us were even born, and that banks and industry here in the United States funded and built the Soviet military-industrial complex. And of more recent times, they've been developing the Chinese military-industrial complex. It was British economist John Maynard Keynes who said almost a century ago that in order for his economic schemes to succeed, there would have to be the ever-present external threat of war. Listeners might find it noteworthy that Federal Delano Roosevelt Socialist New Deal and war effort was waged against Nazi fascist dictatorships of Germany and Italy and against the Japanese emperor on behalf of a communist dictatorship in Russia. All of these governments, including our own, employed the same basic economic system, the monetization of debt, bank credit. Well, defenders of FDR would say it was an emergency after all, and you gotta do what you gotta do. Shades of a post-9/11 Patriot Act mentality, where freedoms like privacy, sanctity of one's home, free from warrantless searches, and the right of lawful due process were set aside by a hostile government waging war against terror. Well, there's our midtime break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Datum Live.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
How important is the air we breathe? Our air purifiers are made with a patent process called Aeron. Aeron is different from ozone. Aeron does not create oxides of nitrogen like other ozone machines. Unlike any air purifiers out there, the Aeron generator adds additional energy, creating higher forms of oxygen. And when the Aeron molecule comes in contact with pollution, the pollution is quickly oxidized. These higher forms of energized oxygen have more power to oxidize pollutants, removing dust, pollen, mold, and other particles from the air. Destroying chemical fumes and toxic gases kills mold, mildew, fungi, and kills many viruses and bacteria in the air and on surfaces for a healthier, cleaner environment. Visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Just click on our online store or call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Be prepared. How important is the air we breathe?
Welcome back to this segment of Daff and Wine. We were talking about the Lend-Lease program and how it serves to regulate and prioritize America's strategic weapons. Weapons which went to the Soviet Union. And, you know, there was an aircraft company called Bell years ago. In fact, they make helicopters, don't they? They were supported by First National Bank of Boston, I think it was. They were on the verge of bankruptcy, and First National Bank of Boston put them back on the street. And they provided all the helicopters for the Vietnam War. The UH-1, Iroquois is actually what it's called, but because of the letters UH-1, it quickly got the name Huey or Huey. Anyway, Bell had supplied thousands of P-39 Air Cobras, and then later on the King Cobra, which was an improvement of the P-39. Thousands of those were shipped to the Soviet Union as only a drop in the bucket of the military aid that went to the Soviet Union from the United States. Anyway, that's just another little aside. But people would argue, and I've heard it said many times, you know, that the Soviets were our ally during World War II, weren't they? Not in the Pacific, they weren't, which is one of those marvels of diplomacy that seems to escape the attention of our general population. For example, when a Boeing B-29 aircraft crew put their four-engine bomber down in eastern Russia shortly after a bombing raid on Japan, their modern state-of-the-art aircraft was dismantled for purpose of being reverse-engineered by that communist government. They didn't return us the airplane. They simply stole it. Thus was born the Tupolev Tu-4 as a copy of our B-29. And, of course, the Tu-4 was one of the adversaries' bombers in the early part of the fictitious Cold War. Now, while that represented a hostile act of copying military technology by an enemy, and Russia was our enemy in the Pacific, they were not our ally. They were our ally in Europe, if you can believe that. Listeners may find it interesting that America's principal World War II ally, Britain, on whose behalf we went to war in Europe, permitted one of its well-known manufacturers by the name of Rolls-Royce, which produces aircraft engines, by the way, to engage in international licensing agreements with the Soviet Union right after World War II. When American pilots and ground personnel found themselves up against Soviet-built MiG-15 jet fighters during the Korean War, they were unaware that this front line and very capable aircraft was powered by the Rolls-Royce Nene, that's spelled N-E-N-E, turbojet engine, and not a copy of stolen technology, but rather built under license from Rolls-Royce. One of these MiG-15s is, or at least should still be, on display at the United States Air Force Aircraft Museum in Dayton, Ohio, at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Visitors are told on the plaque, and if they should purchase a scrapbook, if you will, of photographs of all the aircraft that are on display there at Wright-Patt, they'll be told that the engine is a Rolls-Royce engine, that it's a Nene turbojet engine. But they'll be told that it's a copy, which infers that no agreement existed between Rolls-Royce and the Soviets. Well, Anthony Sutton set the record straight on that one, as he did with so many other trade deals that were entered into by American and European industry in search of blood money. It was Major General Smedley Butler who, during the Roosevelt era, had the courage to announce that war is a racket. When the dollar makes only 5% at home, it goes overseas in search of greater profits. The flag then follows the dollar, and the soldier follows the flag. If our school children were taught that truth, how many of them would go to war on behalf of Chase, Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown and Root, and others? As stated in earlier Datamine broadcasts, there is a close relationship between and among our national debt, inflation, growth of federal spending, federal influence and control, central banking, and war. Dodd and Hasek, who had written this economics textbook, college-level economics textbook that I had quoted from a few minutes ago, Dodd and Hasek seemed to agree, but without implicating the banks in a sinister connection, either because it never entered into their minds or because they knew where their bread was buttered. They did, however, make some good observations. And for some of those observations, I'm going to turn to page 614 and 615 of Economics, Principles and Applications by Dodd and Hasek, published in 1948. Subtitle, Effects of National Emergencies. Well, that should be interesting. That's what we've been talking about. Wars always increase the amount of expenditures by the central government, although they may not affect greatly the expenditures of local and state governments. Let's stop there on that first sentence. That makes sense, doesn't it? The federal government is constitutionally delegated the responsibility of dealing with foreign relations, foreign trade relations in times of peace, and our relationship to other nations that might be hostile to us, as during a state of war. Okay? So the federal government is going to grow by leaps and bounds during wartime. So now, if you were someone who wanted to overthrow the United States constitutional form of government, would it not be beneficial, to you at least, to exacerbate the growth of the federal government, particularly by creating emergencies when bureaucrats in Washington are much more likely to violate the constitutional oath and begin usurping powers they never had, and in effect, transforming the United States progressively into a socialist dictatorship? That's exactly what they did. For example, say Dodd and Hasek, during the Civil War period, federal expenditures rose from about $63 million in 1860 to nearly $1.3 billion in 1865. Can you imagine a federal government operating on a budget of $63 million? Well, that's what it was in 1860. But after the war, 1865, the budget expenditures had climbed to $1.3 billion. Now, that's only a five-year period of time. And that represents a 20-fold increase in federal expenditures, which means that the federal government probably got about 20 times the size that it once was. If you like percentage figures, well, that's 2,000%. That's over a 2,000% increase in the size of the federal government. Well, let's continue. During World War I, in the period from 1916 to 1919, the increase in the expenditures of the federal government was from $734 million to more than $18.5 billion. Now, we're not too far. We're only talking about a half a century after the end of the Civil War. Sorry if you're from the South. You don't call it that. You call it the War for Secession or the War of Northern Aggression. And I come from Maine, and I didn't realize that I was one of the aggressors, but I guess we were. And I apologize for that. Anyway, $734 million was the federal expenditure before we entered the war. Now, prior to the Civil War, the expenditures were only $63 million. But by the beginning of World War I, and we hadn't entered that war yet, we were already spending $734 million. It's kind of interesting. In 1940, the year before we entered World War II, oh, by the way, those expenditures with regards to pre-World War I and World War I, 1919, that was over a 25 fold increase in expenditures. That's over 2,500%. And that wasn't in 5 years. That was just in 3 years. Now we go to World War II. In 1940, the year before we entered World War II, say Dodd and Hasek, federal expenditures amounted to $5.9 billion. That's a pretty hefty government. In peacetime, spending $5.9 billion when just before the Civil War is only spending $63 million. You figure out those numbers. But in 1944, and the war hadn't ended yet, it wouldn't end until middle of 1945, in 1944 they reached $100 billion. Now, that only represented approximately a 20-fold increase or a 2,000% increase, but that was in 4 years, and the war was not yet over. The actual increase in spending was a $94 billion increase in spending. These are phenomenal numbers, and of course we've talked about those numbers in other broadcasts. Well, let's see what else Dodd and Hasek have to say about the effects of national emergencies. They say that there are two reasons why war increases the expense of government. In the first place, more goods of certain kinds are needed in vast quantities. You can guess what those are. In the second place, price inflation is an inevitable accompaniment of war. Why would that be? Because wars are not fought on a pay-as-you-go basis, in cash, with gold and silver. Wars are fought on credit. We'll get to that later. So they say that inflation is an inevitable accompaniment of war. Now, it wouldn't be if you were using hard money, but it would be if you increase the goods and services by an influx, a phenomenal influx of bank credit. In other words, they say that a given amount of revenue will purchase a smaller amount of labor, materials, and finished goods than formerly, which is why the Office of Price Administration was created at the onset of the war to keep those prices from going up so that the federal government could confiscate secretly and unobserved, more of the goods and services produced by the American people with fewer dollars of imaginary credit. That kept somewhat of a lid on inflation. They went on to say that the cessation of hostilities, however, does not mean that there will be a return to the former level of governmental expenditures. And we seem to notice that, didn't we, between the Civil War, World War I, and World War II, how after each war, the federal government was huge compared to what it was before the war. And they're going to explain why that was. They say, quote, "War is followed by its aftermath of disabled soldiers who must be given hospital treatment and perhaps be awarded compensation. In addition, the veterans of World War II were given the opportunity of continuing their education at government expense." That means your expense. "Moreover, the impact of war results in the expansion of certain governmental departments, which require time for readjustment to their former size and functions." Well, sometimes new functions are created as a result of these expenditures. "Of importance, too, is the fact that the employment of millions of workers by the government in one capacity or another brings large numbers into more or less direct contact with the agencies of the federal government, and that as a result of this experience, there appears to be an increased willingness on the part of more people to look to government for aid in solving certain economic problems that formerly were considered as being private affairs." Now, you notice we have a socialist mindset in America, and people think that that's normal. And we've talked about how back in New York, back in 1929, approximately 90% of the people age 65 and above received no public or private compensation or assistance to the elderly. Only 4% of the people in New York, age 65 and above, back in 1929, received any kind of private charity or public assistance. Why? Because they were self-supporting or else their families supported them. We don't do that anymore in America. Why? Well, because the state is now our father and our mother. Those of you who are in the Army, you remember how your sergeant told you that I'm your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your priest, your rabbi, and so forth and so on. Well, that's what Uncle Sam has become to America today. That's why Obamacare is somewhat popular, even though you may not like it. "Finally," say Dodd and Hasek, "war has not succeeded in ridding nations, even the victors, of the fear of future wars. As a consequence, at least the larger nations feel impelled to maintain larger armies and more costly armament than before." Then they go on to talk about, on page 615, I'll skip quite a bit of text here, they talk about that following the end of hostilities, many problems incidental to reconversion to a peacetime economy call for a continuation of several types of governmental expenditures. More important, however, was the fact that this country and Russia failed to come to a mutually satisfactory working agreement with respect to their relations with the European nations. In order to aid in the restoration of the shattered economies of the European nations, and in an effort to discourage the spread and the influence of Russia, the United States adopted a policy of extending financial aid to those nations which showed a disposition to resist the spread of communism. Doesn't that sound so nice? Aid was given in the form of loans by our government, a great deal of which would be used to purchase American agricultural products and manufactured goods. Whether any or all of these loans will be repaid in the future remains to be seen. If they are not repaid, the amount of the loans must be recovered from the American taxpayers, end quote. Well, let me see if I can summarize this for you, because we have another break coming. In every phase of America's economic struggle that was mentioned by Dodd and Hasek in this rather extensive textbook, there seems to be a beneficiary, regardless of circumstances, be it war or peace. The beneficiary, our central bank and key commercial members. First phase, World War I, required vast expenditures. You couldn't do that without a bank. Two, reconversion to a peacetime economy after the war. The banks helped there, too. Three, the boom economy just before the onset of the Great Depression. That's why there was a boom, because there was so much credit. 4. Post-depression recovery. 5. The war with Japan, Germany, and Italy. 6. The post-war readjustment back to a peacetime economy following World War II. 7. Post-war reconstruction of war-torn Europe and Japan. 8. The rearmament of the United States for the Cold War, the arms race. You know, the banks seem to be in on everything profitable, and central banks in particular. Local banks have a cheat limit, you see, that's imposed by the Fed as to how much they can create out of nothing. The Federal Reserve operates with no reserve requirement whatsoever. Not even God can improve on that one. Here's our last break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. You're listening to Datum Line.
Introducing Michael Anthony's Private Stock Herbal Formulas, infection killer for all infections, viral, bacterial, fungal, parasitic. My Rapid Heal for all injuries enables the body to mend super fast. My System Toner, the Rejuvenator, tune-up for the entire body, head to toe, keeping it youthful, the mind positive and focused. Dragon Juice, the Revitalizer, pure power in a delicious drink. If your body's dragging, you need Dragon Juice. Lung formula for asthma and all lung afflictions, arthritis fix, great tasting herbal teas, and more. Michael Anthony's Private Stock exclusive herbal formulas. To find out more, call 845-231-1094 or email Michael Anthony's Private Stock at yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's Private Stock exclusive herbal formulas.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back to the final segment of Datum Line. You know, it's been a very long time since wars were fought on a pay-as-you-go basis. And with substantive money, that's what I mean. Such conflicts would, first of all, need the popular support of the citizenry, who must bear its cost, measured in money, toil, and blood. Wars legitimately fought in defense of one's home and homeland are far more likely to receive that necessary level of popular support. But how do you get just enough people to support an unjust offensive war on behalf of greedy merchants and their power-hungry tyrants in that mansion on Capitol Hill, for example. Well, absent the economic wherewithal to sustain a military campaign, would render war out of the question, wouldn't it? And to tax the citizens sufficiently would prove most unpopular under those circumstances, because wars are expensive. So the answer is to fight now and pay later. And you do that on the easy installment plan. It's called bank credit, which is why banking is so key. It is pivotal to global conflicts in this modern age. And bank credit includes the infusion of legal tender banknotes in prodigious quantity, and FDR did that. These are the insidious instruments of theft that the public was taught to call money. Inflation, you remember, is a tax. The most insidious tax ever devised, said John Maynard Keynes. And the American people who are robbed with this are taught to call their robbery payment. It almost seems like shades of what, wasn't it Nikita Khrushchev who said that concerning America, we spit in their face and they call it due. Almost seems like shades of that, doesn't it? Well, I'm going to quote John Maynard Keynes to close out. John Maynard Keynes, you remember, was cited by the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, Virginia in the 1980 annual report. Keynes had written in Tract back, oh gosh, I don't know, 1923 or thereabouts, at page 37 and 52. He said, or the Federal Reserve says, concerning Keynes, Keynes argues that inflation is a method of taxation which the government uses to secure the command over real resources, resources just as real as those obtained by ordinary taxation. Regarding the inflation tax, he says that a government can live by this means when it can live by no other. It is the form of taxation which the public find hardest to evade. You hear that, tax patriots? And even the weakest government can enforce when it can enforce nothing else. Now, you and I may not like Keynes or Keynesian economics, which theories, by the way, were adopted by FDR, even though he admitted he didn't understand them. But Keynes was no dummy. Wouldn't you agree? Inflation is a tax. It's the most insidious tax that's ever been devised. What is that tax? It's bank credit. When do you pay that tax? When you give up your goods and services to get a Federal Reserve note or a bank check, you've already paid the tax. 100% confiscation. Well, you've been listening to Datum Line. I hope this has been of interest to you. Thank you for listening, and God bless. Have a good day.